Clap offering for his goodness to us this morning. Lord, thank you, Alric and Eileen, praise team, and Ed. And God bless you for your faithfulness and leading. Just want to remind you folks that after the service today, we are having a meeting for Praise and Worship Ministries. And if you can sing, we certainly want to talk with you. We're looking for musicians, and we're looking for audiovisual individuals. My son and Nolan, we only two back there, my wife and a couple others at our point. We want to change it up a bit. I'd love to be able to sit with my wife and family one day in church where we're not always working, but just enjoying the service. And so we need all the help that we can get. So we're not meeting right after the service for all the people who would like to be involved in praise and worship. Come out and give it a shot and talk with you and share some things. And Pastor Alvin and I will be leading and just go from there. All right? So give attention to that. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate it. Well, we sang a lot about the faithfulness of God this morning, and that was not accidental, it was intentional. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to take them out, turn on your iPad, iPhone, and get into the scriptures for just a few moments. Ed, you're crowding me up, man.
I got more.
I'm backed up with me.
I got more.
Got it? All right. I'm wondering if there's someone in our congregation who is not opposed to coming up front and reading the Word of God, leading us in the reading of the Word of God. And someone who can read very clearly and probably a translation that's easy to understand and easy to follow. Okay? All right. So nobody wants to read the Word of God in church. Grandma, I'm going to give someone else a chance. Just hang on. I'm going to give somebody else a chance. See if anybody else does. All right. You want to try to start a name? All right. Okay? Maybe I'll tell you what. Why don't we split it? Yeah. All right. So we got 22 verses. You do the first 11. You give me the last one. We compromise?
Yes.
Enough balance. All right. There you go. Go ahead. Why don't you read along with this diagram on the screen?
Reading the word of the Lord, taken from Lamentation chapter 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness other than light. Indeed, he has turned his hands against me and again all day long. He has made my skin and my leash grow cold and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has won me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has laid my path crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help.
He has bent his bow and set me a mark of an arrow. He has caused my arrows to quiver and enter into my reins. I was the desertion of all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled my bitterness and hath made drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth and gravel stones and hath covered me with ashes. He hath removed my soul from far from peace. I forgot prosperity.
Yes.
And And I said, my strength and my hope perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my ministry, Wormwood and Gal, and the Gal. My soul hath them still remembrance, and is humbled in me. I recall my mind, therefore my hope. And this is the last one.
Okay, I can take over from here, Graham. That's okay.
I'll just try and hit
my head. Yeah, you did your best, Graham. Thank you. Thank you for being willing and volunteering. Yeah. So, all right, so let's go to 20. I will remember then, and my soul is downcast with me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us affirm God's word this morning. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. I will stand on its promises. I declare it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to preach this morning for a few moments from the subject, I still believe in the faithfulness of God. I still believe in the faithfulness of God. Do I have any witnesses in the house today that still believe in the faithfulness of God? Amen? When we read the text, this is Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking. And I don't know if you caught all of the things that he was feeling in the previous verses. Did you catch them?
Yes.
Did Jeremiah sound to you like he was a man who was having a really good time? He was in utter despair. And yet still, in the midst of his despair, he says to himself, yet this I call to mind. What he's actually saying, Diane, when I stop and I look back and I remember the goodness of God, in spite of what I'm going through, I have to conclude that great is his faithfulness. It's despite whatever my circumstances are. Is there anybody in the house today that's catching hell on high water and you don't know which way to turn? I came by to tell you that I still believe in the faithfulness of God. Do you believe in the faithfulness of God? Well, let's get into the word for just a few moments here. When I sit down to prepare a message, I always ask God, say, God, what could I share with the body this week that you want me to share? Mm-hmm. I could go on the internet and do a download and preach. Yeah. I could look up Bishop Eddie Long. Yeah. I could look up Bishop Noah Jones. Mm-hmm. I could look up Bishop T.D. Jakes. Yeah. I could look up Prof. No Dollar. Yeah. I can buy a sermon for $10 and I can preach it to you if I wanted to. But that's their sermon with their anointing. It wouldn't have any anointing if it didn't go through me. So the message has to go through me before it can get to you. And so while I research and, you know, my systematic theology professor in Bible College told us, he says, now listen, there is nothing new under the sun. And he said to us, all originality leads to dull preaching. If you think as a preacher you're going to create and say something that hasn't been said before, you're in for a big surprise, because something has been said before about any particular topic you can call upon. But what he did encourage us, he said, you know, he says, I normally milk a lot of cows, but I make my own ice cream. And so it's good to milk a lot of cows and churn your own butter, if that's what it takes. But the Holy Spirit has to lead the preacher and guide him as to what he would want him to say to this particular body, because God has a word for this particular body. And so as I spent time in prayer and asked God, I was led to Lamentations chapter 3, and I think of all the things that we are faced with as our small congregation. I don't know who this is for today. Perhaps it's for the entire body. Perhaps it's for a particular individual. But regardless of who you are, I came by today to tell you that I still believe in the faithfulness of God. And if you still have a small amount of faith left, I want you to hold on to this and convince yourself and speak to yourself and say to self, self, I still believe in the faithfulness of God. Amen. The book of Lamentations is a series of songs of mourning that were written against the backdrop of the Babylonian invasion and the destruction of Jerusalem. In these verses of the book, we can see the awful suffering endured by the people of God, of that city, by the hand of their enemies. And still, even in the midst of all the pain, all of the turmoil, Carmen, God had a man set aside in Jerusalem to record the events and to bring honor to his name, despite of the challenges and the despair that his people were experiencing. The writer of the book of Lamentations, we believe to be no other than Jeremiah. And if you read Jeremiah, you will discover that Jeremiah is known to us as the weeping prophet. He's always crying. A study of Jeremiah's life reveals a portrait of unending sadness and deep depression. He received an unwanted call to minister, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. He didn't want to, and let me pause there for a minute. I don't know too many people who are in the ministry who woke up one morning and says, I can't wait to be a pastor. If you are in the ministry, it's because there is a call of God on your life. And if you end up in the pulpit and God hadn't called you, trust me, you wouldn't last very long, because you would need the power of God to call you and the strength of God to sustain you. And so Jeremiah's call, when he didn't want to be called, he was called to a ministry of preaching nothing but judgment. Can you imagine sitting on the New Jerusalem Pentecostal Church, and all you could hear was a judgment Sunday after Sunday, well, Saturday after Saturday after Saturday, nothing but judgment. You'll find that in Jeremiah 1, 9, and 10. He was forbidden to marry so that he might give himself more fully to the ministry of proclaiming the impending judgment of God, Jeremiah 16, 1 to 3. And as a result of Jeremiah not being married, he was faced with the difficulty or the challenges of being familiar with loneliness. This is the preacher now. He was a man of deep sadness and wept openly about the sins of his people, Jeremiah 9, 1. He endured depression as a result of his message going unheeded for so long. He even came to the point where he tried to get out of the ministry. Jeremiah 20:19. If you kept preaching and preaching and people weren't changing, you wouldn't want to run. Anybody would want to run. His pain is understandable, because in a ministry that spanned over 50 years, Brother Morgan, we have no record of not even one convert. You ought to read the book for yourself. You think of if you were Jeremiah, preaching for 50 years, not one person got saved. Would you feel discouraged? No fruits from his labor is evident. He suffered imprisonment by King Zedekiah because the king did not approve of Jeremiah's preaching, Jeremiah 32, verse 5. Even while the Babylonians are invading the city, in fulfillment of the prophet's declaration, Jeremiah is sitting in a dungeon. Jeremiah 32, verse 2. Now, this is God's called man. And sometimes we look at ministry and we think, if God called me, then life is not supposed to be this way. And I'm not just speaking of pastoral ministry, but calling to any kind of ministry. It could be the ministry of the dishes or the ministry of the parking lot. The fact that you feel that God has called you to serve in a particular way, again, I want to remind you, does not give you immunity from difficulties and hardships. So we ought to stand steadfast as we go through some of these things. After Jerusalem falls and many have been killed or taken into captivity, the prophet Jeremiah does not gloat and take any kind of pleasure and say, well, I told you so. Instead, he becomes broken with the remnant and even into suffering with them. Lamentations 1 to 5, you will see that recorded. After enduring a life like this, after being rejected, after being hated, being mocked, in prison, ignored, after seeing his beloved Jerusalem ransacked, desecrated and destroyed, after experiencing the horror of war, the brutality of the enemy, and the fangs of hunger, Jeremiah was still able to stand forth amid the rubble of the city and around the amongst the dead bodies and to lift his voice. Sister Eileen, there was no worship team. There was no praise band. There was no Brother Ed on the keyboards nor the guitar. In the midst of that, without anybody forcing him to lift his voice, he was still able in that situation to lift his voice in praise for God's great, unfailing faithfulness, not only to Jeremiah, but to God's people. This is where you're supposed to shout. I wish you could take note from Jeremiah, because when you know God for who God is, when he has done so many things for me, the song says, when I think of the goodness of God and all that he has done for me, it doesn't say that the worship team had to motivate me. It says my soul cries out and sings because of what God has done for me. And so what we are trying to get you to get to New Hope is that you have to stop depending on someone else to get you fired up, get you motivated to serve God. Jeremiah stood up in the midst of the rubble and all of the challenges. And in the midst of that situation, he lifts his voice in praise for God's unfailing faithfulness to his people. You got to ask yourself the question, how is this possible? Despite his trials and his troubles, Jeremiah had got a good grasp on the reality of who God is. I believe the reason some of our lives are the way that it is because we don't understand who God is. Because when we understand who God is, then our circumstances doesn't shake us, doesn't bother us. We may not like it. We may be depressed for a short time. But when I stop and think of the goodness of God, regardless of where I am, it has to change my thinking and my mentality. Elder talked about that this morning. Jeremiah knew whether things went well or whether everything fell apart, God will still be God, and that God would be eternally faithful to his people. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Jeremiah was still able to find hope in a hopeless situation because he believed in the faithfulness of his great God. Do you believe in the faithfulness of your great God? Do you believe that the God that you serve can take your situation and turn it around? I don't know about you, but I serve a turnaround kind of God. Like Jeremiah, we all go through times when life seems to fall apart at the seams. When these times come, we also need to have the blessed assurance that God will continue to be faithful. Thankfully, the Bible gives us overwhelming evidence of the unchanging faithfulness of our great God. And the word faithfulness in verse 23 of our text speaks of firmness and fidelity and steadfastness and steadiness. This word pictures God as one whom we can lean and depend on. We can be sure that as we face the storms, the trials, and the valleys of life, God will ever prove himself to be steadfast and faithful to you and to I. To put it simply, you can count on God. Do I have any witnesses in here today? You can count on God. I would like to take this passage and point out to you just some precious words in these verses that tell us why Jeremiah was able to proclaim that I believe in the faithfulness of God. Notice that these words teach us, what these words teach us about the great, unfailing faithfulness of God for the believer. In verses 22 of our text, he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Not just me, but we, the nation of Israel as a whole. Because of God's great love, the children of God are not consumed. And so, Jerry, I want to say to you today that as Jeremiah seems to go back in the wilderness of his mind, he is remembering that it was the pure grace and the love of God for the children of God that he brought them out of slavery from Israel. And as he went back into the wilderness of his mind, he also concluded that God's grace had kept his people in spite of the failures and the wandering. There is a word for us in this today. There's hope in the midst of affliction, and this is the direct result of God's love for us. Jeremiah says, because of God's great love. Now he's speaking of the Old Testament. We fast forward to the New Testament. John 3:16 said, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to remind you that because of God's great love for us, we can find hope in the midst of affliction. We can find hope because God loves us so much that he's not willing to let us stay where we are. He's willing to bring us out. Sometimes he will take us through trials and tribulation so that we can learn some valuable lessons, because it is not beneficial for a person to keep making the same mistakes over and over again and not learning the lesson. So sometimes God would allow our enemies to do certain things to us, like he did with the children of Israel, in order for us to learn certain lessons so that he can get our full love, devotion, and attention. But it's because of love that he allows us to experience what we experienced. His love has saved us. Only grace could have reached into the lost, doomed condition of mankind. We would not get to God, so God came to us. He came in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Not only does his love save us, but his love secures us. That's good news for us today, that regardless of our circumstances, it's good to know that I'm saved, but I think it's better to know that I'm secure. Safe and secure, leaning on the everlasting arms of Almighty God. We might be afflicted externally, but we are a secure people. Secure that if God knew me before I was born, then there is nothing in my life that ought to surprise God. And so we're secure that he knew my past. I'm secure that he knows my present. And I'm secure that he knows my future. And you need to take a hold of that and stand on the security of God, that no matter what you go through, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what the banker says, no matter what the mortgage company says, no matter what the employment office says, if God is your God, you can stand with strong security, knowing that God has you in a secure place. Because we are prone to failures and wanderings, our salvation and our security rest upon the faithfulness of God and God alone. And thank God that salvation is in his domain. Now, I believe in the faithfulness of God, not only because it brings hope, but it also brings happiness. When we look at our text in verses 22b, it says, "For his compassion never fails." I don't know about you. His compassion never failed. I think of, as a child growing up, all of them, I grew up in Guyana, so we didn't get spanked. We got the daylights beaten out of us. So. I mean, in North America, you get spanked, you get a little tough, but we got whooping. I mean, or maybe you got that here too, I don't know. You know, I know Granny Steve before she passed away. That's Diana Delva's mom. You know, she told me, so I specialize. I'll make you see the moon and the stars. and she'd always say to me, you know, make sure they don't kill you, but make sure you do righteousness. I'll make you see the moon and the stars, you know. So sometimes I wonder what kind of life Elvin Diane had growing up. I don't know. But I'm sure she would. But my point is, Jeremiah says that for his compassion never fails. When I think of a child growing up, I think, you know, I think I deserved every beating I got. I don't know about you. I don't regret none of it either, because I think it's helped me to be the person that I am today. Jeremiah goes on to say that, "For his compassion never failed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And so what this tells me is that this word compassion and his mercies are gifts, God gifts of faithfulness to us. He doesn't give us leftovers. He doesn't give us what he doesn't need. He doesn't give us what is stale. But the word tells us that he gives us morning by morning new mercies I see. It is fresh. It is new. It is daily provision. You don't know what's going on ahead of time, but every morning you will see the newness and the freshness of God. And so these are gifts that God has given to us. God didn't promise an easy road. He did promise that his grace would be sufficient for all that we need. 2 Corinthians 9:12-9. Grace is usually defined as God's unmerited favor towards sinners. It carries with it the idea, but it is a word that has to come to mean more than that, more than just God's grace. I believe I've come to understand it to be the strength of God to face battles and to bear up under times of difficulties. And so every time I drive by the Grey Nuns Hospital and the Misericordia and the University and Royal Alex, I shout grace, because there are people in there that need the grace of God for whatever it is that they're going through. With this in mind, we should always remember that regardless of what life sends our way, we can be confident in the fact that the Lord will give us the necessary strength to face the trying times that are before us. You will never face a situation as a believer that God will not give you the grace to help you to make it through that situation. That is encouraging for us today. Notice a promise given to us in Isaiah 43:1-2 that says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give you Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your steadfast." So these verses, along with many others, reveal the great truth that God is ever present with his children. Even when we cannot be seen, he cannot be seen, he is there with us. When you cannot trace God in your life, I challenge you to come to the place where you can truly trust him, even though you may not be able to trace him. But if you look hard enough like Jeremiah, you will say, "When I think and when I remember, I can see the trace, and I can see the floor plan of God. I can see evidence that God is in my life." Amen. Ephesians 2:30 focuses on the word able. If this verse is to be taken at face value, then I'm certain that it becomes plain that God is greater by far than any problem we have. This we know. And so God gives not only given to us, they're fresh every day, every morning. I want to ask you to take some time to enjoy the freshness and to bathe in the freshness of God's gift. Yes. That's not going to happen unless we spend time with God.
Right.
If we get up in the morning and we rush around and we go about our day and we come back at midnight and we're tired and we just said thank you for the day and go to bed, we will never experience the freshness of God. But there's something beautiful about getting up early in the morning and spending time with God in prayer and worship and scripture reading and meditation and allowing God to speak into your life for that day and to give you enough food and strength and nourishment to take you through the challenges that you will face for that day. So I want to encourage you on this note. I believe in the faithfulness of God. Not only does it bring hope, not only does it bring happiness, but it brings help in the midst of affliction. And verses 24 and 26 tells us, 24 to 26 say, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him. So to him, to the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Well, this tells me that I can stand on the faithfulness of God because the faithfulness of God brings help. The word good is the idea of pleasant, agreeable, excellent. You know, there's a lot of people that's going through rough times that think that God is bringing calamity and chaos on them. But that's not what my Bible tells me. God doesn't have to inflict you with cancer for God to get your attention. He's not that kind of God.
Right.
He doesn't have to put you in a car accident so he can get you to smart. No. Now, he may permit those things to happen through other sources, but he is not the kind of God that inflicts anybody with anything so he can get their attention. That's not the God that we serve. So the text tells us that I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait patiently on him. And this means that God is a satisfier. How many of you have got some need in your life today? If you've got some need in your life today, I want you to know God is a satisfier. And whatever that need is, he is able to meet those needs and to be your satisfier. He is your sustainer. God will never fail those who place their trust in him. He may not come when you want him, but I know that he's always an on-time kind of God. And so not only is he a satisfier, God is a sustainer, that he sustains us with whatever we need, but he's also our savior, not only in terms of salvation, but he delivers us out of trouble and difficulties and challenges that we may face. And so, my fellow saints, I would like to remind you that God knows where you are today. He knows what you're going through. He will not forsake you, but he will faithfully keep you and bring you out in his time, for his purpose and his goodness. God, great is the faith that can stand amidst the wreckage of life and declare the praises of God. Jeremiah was this kind of a believer. And I want to encourage you today that regardless of where you are in life, like Jeremiah, with all of the sadness and all of the calamity and all of the destruction that he faced, in the midst of all of that, he stood up with praise and adoration to God for God's goodness. And so today I want to say to you, if you can look back and see how God has brought you through, then you ought not to be so consumed about what you're going through today. But the same faith that you expressed years ago, put that faith into action today and watch God bring a change in your circumstances. And if God is the same yesterday, and if God is the same today, and if he's the same tomorrow, then he has to create the change, and he has to bring about a change in your life, and in my life, and the life of the church, because that's just who he is. I still believe in the faithfulness of God, that no matter where I am, my circumstances do not have to stay the same, because God can turn them around.
Yes. Amen.
because he's a turnaround kind of God. So if Jeremiah can serve one example for us today, that is that you and I ought not wait for someone else to motivate us to give worship to God. We should not wait until our conditions are ideal before we give praise and worship to God, but we ought to worship God with praise and adoration, regardless of where we are or what we're going through. And as you begin to praise God, you will praise your way out of your circumstances. The reason many of us are in circumstances is because we're complaining in it. But you begin to praise your way out of your circumstances, and before long, you will see what God will do for you.
Amen.
I still believe in the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
New Hope Christian Assembly,
thank you, Jesus.
We have some challenges ahead of us.
Thank you, Lord.
There are many other churches with the same kind of challenges. We're not exempt from some of these things, but I still believe in the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
This is His church. I still believe in the faithfulness of God. You are His people. And I still believe in His faithfulness for your life, regardless of what report you're reading. And unless you've read God's report, you ought to be careful what report you read. I still believe in the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
When you believe in the faithfulness of God, it will bring you hope, it will bring you happiness, and it will bring you some help. And we all need help.
Amen.
I want to give you folks an opportunity to be prayed over. There may be someone here today who does not know the Lord as their Savior. I want to give you an invitation to come to know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, so that you can have a relationship that sustains and satisfies and secures you, as we see in our text. If you have never expressed faith in Jesus Christ, this is a perfect opportunity for you to do so. Ed or Glenda, will one of you come to the piano for us, please? Just to play softly and give those of us who need an opportunity to be at the altar. Maybe you may have some other needs in your life apart from salvation. We would also like to pray for you. If there are any members of the altar team, I'd love for you to join us up front and let's cover these needs in prayer. Praying for salvation this morning. Those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You want to also pray for any other needs that you may have. The Bible tells us that we ought to pray for one another, encourage one another. So, give you that opportunity. The altars are open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open. Would you give the Lord an opportunity to minister to you today? Thank you.
let's take the place of the altar.